So we're studying the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus. What did Jesus say? You know, I mentioned the other day or last time I was speaking to you about a movement they had, wrote a book about it called In His Steps, and that was a whole town decided to live by the rule, what would Jesus do? Everybody, young, old, shopkeepers, everybody in the town somehow agreed together that they would conduct their lives by asking first the question before they did anything, what would Jesus do? What would he do in this situation? And of course, everything changed. One of the notable things is there was peace where there was strife. The blessing of the Lord, prosperity was upon the businesses. Trust and openness was unreal. It's amazing what can happen when we think or when we act like we have the mind of Christ. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. They hear his voice. So that would lead us to understand that if we can't hear his voice, we're not going to be able to follow him. And how do we know his voice? By first knowing what he said. What he spoke about, what he said, how he spoke. And as I gave you last time also, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That's one of the things that really stuck in my heart that our pastor taught about. Why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? So we want to know what you said, Lord. What did you say, Lord? And I want to just remind you again that in Philippians, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to be like-minded, having one mind. We're supposed to speak the same things. In 1 Corinthians, it says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So it's through our study of what Jesus said that we will know the mind of Christ. We will know the mind of Christ. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? And as that begins to be a part of our thinking, then we'll be able to know and to do what Jesus did. Also, that Jesus said, it's the spirit that makes alive or that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. It's just a vessel. The Lord gives it no importance. But it's the spirit within inside the vessel that brings life. And he said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. And he's saying that to be in contradiction to our normal conversation. In our normal conversation, we're not thinking and we're not conscious that whether we're speaking life or not. But the Lord Jesus wants us to speak life. So when we speak to others, when we speak to one another, that we're cognizant that we have a spirit within us. We have the word of life within us. And we can choose to speak the word. Speak life. Literally give life. I've experienced it. I've seen it. I've seen people that were tormented and depressed, nowhere to go. And I've spoken to them the word of the Lord. The spirit of the word of the Lord. And watch their faces change. Their hearts, their eyes change. The vision, whatever they were thinking about, somehow it changed. And I want to encourage you tonight that you're called to do that. Don't just be someone who goes around and talks about anything. Think about what you speak about. Think about being able to bring life where you go. Pray and ask the Lord, Lord, when I go and meet with so-and-so, I want to bring life. I want to speak life. I want to speak words that will give life. I want to set the captive free. Preach liberty to the captives. That's the gospel. That's the words of Jesus. They give us life. So as we take it in tonight, and as you do in your home studies, you take it in. What you receive, then you can give. It's a serious matter. It's not just a Bible study, and it's not just a church meeting. It's about changing the way we think, the way we do things, and let the Lord put His thoughts and His mind in us so that we can follow His plan. So tonight I want to begin the topic of what Jesus said about Himself. For me, it's paramount to the study of what Jesus said. To know what He said about Himself, who He said, who He was, and what He said about Himself. And throughout the words of Christ, we see that Jesus revealed the relationship between Himself and God. And it was contrary to what the people around were thinking or what they had in their minds. What Jesus revealed about His relationship was unearthly. And so some of those things we want to talk about tonight. John chapter 8 and verse 58 is the first scripture I want to give you. The words of Jesus. It says in John 8, 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, note the two verilies. That's like a double exclamation mark before you begin speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. You know, that just brings an eternal amount of excitement to my spirit. Because at 30 years old, Jesus was revealing to us and to those around Him His divine, eternal nature. He was only 30 years old. And that was the huge problem for those people that were standing around listening to Him. They were looking at a young man who was a carpenter, who said, before Abraham was, I am. In fact, after this, they all picked up stones. They were going to kill Him. They said, you're not even 50. How is it possible that you could have known or seen Abraham? A lesson to us, as well as to those that were there, that He was revealing something beyond that we can see or that we can understand with our natural senses. But by faith in God, believing in what He said. To those disciples that would follow Jesus, He makes known the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's one of the things that I love that Jesus said, you know, I speak to you in parables so that they don't understand. But I want you to understand. And for us today, Jesus wants us to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, of the gospel, of the resurrection. He wants to reveal Himself to us. And He did that throughout the gospels and some in Revelations where He spoke. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, I am is a name that was given to God by himself. And I'll give you that scripture. It's Exodus chapter 3, 13 and 14, just for the purpose of seeing more clearly our study. That it says in that scripture, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am." I love it. You notice the word am is capitalized. Not that that means a whole lot, because we understand that God is saying that he is the I am. He said, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. What's God's name? That's what he calls himself. And that name is more than a name as we know it. It's a description that I suppose our language barely covers it. For only God can say that he is the I am. Because he alone is self-existent, the self-existent one. That's what it means. But he alone is self-existent. There isn't any other being. There isn't anything else that is self-existent. The idols of the world, the gods of this world, were created by men. They are not self-existent. In the beginning, God. God doesn't have a father, a mother. And we have no idea where he originated from, only that he always was, is, and always will be. Thus, he's the I am. He's the only one that's self-existence, and all of creation flows from him. He's the originator. He's the creator. He's the beginning of all things. In the beginning, God. He is the beginning. Everything else flows from him. He gives life to the universe. He gives life and breath to you and I. The atmosphere, the sunshine, the birds, the trees, everything that we see and that we understand up to this point in science, in society, God, it came from him. The self-existent one. All creation flows from him. So Jesus was literally telling the people that he was God. He said, before Abraham was what? Notice he didn't say, before Abraham was, I was there. He made a grammatical error. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Present. Existent. Without beginning. And without end. I am. Jesus said he was I am. He was not just a carpenter's son, a Nazarene, but he was the Son of God. And to everyone that receives that mystery, He was God incarnate or made flesh. John chapter 17 and verse 5 echoes this revelation where Jesus said, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is it possible that the Almighty Originator could have lived in a fleshy or earthen, fleshly vessel or earthen vessel? What a purpose, what a plan, what a condescension for God to suffer humanity, to suffer a covering of flesh, to subject himself to the things that you and I do, or that you and I are subjected to know about loneliness, to know about love, to know about hate, rejection, sorrow, pain. God experienced that in the person of Jesus Christ. Wonderful Lord. I just think of how somebody could believe in anything else but that which is spoken of here. It's so powerful and it's so beautiful. And so beyond man's imagination that he could never come up with a story. For this is the Word of God. John chapter 17, a little further on, 17. 17, beautiful chapter, reflecting Jesus' prayer to the Father before he was to be crucified. In verse 22 of chapter 17, it says, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Hallelujah. What did Jesus say about himself? That he was God. That he was one with God. That he was there in the beginning. That he was before Abraham. That he knew all things. Come on, hallelujah is right. All of a sudden, it gives him authority. He had authority to speak about heaven, about eternity, and most precious of all to you and me, about resurrection life. He had the authority to do that because he wasn't a man, he wasn't a prophet, he was God. And sometimes that's hard to wrap your minds around because we have Him, we know Him as the Son of God. The Father said, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name," so we pray to the Father in Jesus' name because of what Jesus did or because of the sacrifice that was given. But I think that it's okay for us to understand that we're not going to understand everything. But we can certainly believe. Beloved brothers and sisters, Jesus was there in the beginning, one with God, for he was the Word of God. And I love that. I love to think the thought that when it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, he spoke, his word went forth and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so small, we're so infinitesimal. The Lord describes us as vapor. Our life is vapor, that is. That it's that steam that comes out of the kettle or whatever. It appears for a short time, then it dissipates. It's gone. It's so brief. That's our life. That's why it's important for us to spend that time to know who Jesus is. And, you know, the challenge that the Lord really put on my heart and why I really am excited about speaking and teaching about these things is that so we will know who Jesus is, who he really is. Not the Christmas and Easter story, but who he is. So much so that we will be like him. That we'll be able to match up in our thoughts will be his thoughts, not so far away as Isaiah described them, but that our thoughts are going to be his thoughts because we're going to have his mind. That the things we do are going to be the things he would do because we have that mind, that way of thinking. How many notice that already? You know, it's that word that you have received that affects the way you think, the way you live, the way you do things. It's not just a feeling. Some people get all mixed up and think it's all about, you know, being spiritual. Being spiritual is knowing the Word of God, because he said his words are spirit. So if you know his word, you'll be spiritual. And I'd like to just qualify that by saying that's not only knowing it, but it's doing it. Do you want to know who Jesus is? Do you want to be like Jesus? Come on, it's such a lofty ambition for the human mind to think of. But the miracle, listen to me. The miracle of God's word can make Christ in you. Amen. The power of his living, creative word can make Jesus in you. Come on. It can make your mouth and your words Jesus' mouth. His words. Your hands to be his hands. Your life, your touch, the way you look, everything to be like Christ. We have no way to do that on our own. Religion can't do that for us. But the power and authority of his word can create in us the living Christ. You see, that's the mystery of God's plan. He died, buried, rose again, and came again in the person of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he said, I will come again. Do you remember that? Our studies on the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to come again. Amen. The Comforter. He said he was going to come again as the Comforter. Yes. And he's going to be in us. He's going to walk in us. He's going to live in us. Our bodies are going to be his temple. He's here. We need to let him live. We need Jesus to be out on the streets. What would he do? What would he do? Before Abraham was, I am. They didn't understand it, but they got so angry that they wanted to kill him right there. Oh, the audacity of this. Yes, you're speaking to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In John chapter 8 and verse 23, Jesus said, I am not of this world. He said, and said unto them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Could you imagine standing there? Talk about a science fiction story. I'm not from this world. Oh, you just want to run up and grab a hold of him. In John chapter 10 and verse 36, he plainly said, I am the Son of God. People often will accept the fact that Jesus was a prophet, but these are his prophecies. He literally prophesied, speaking by the Spirit, said he was the Son of God. So if you accept him as a prophet, you have to accept him as the Son of God, as the I Am. John 10:36, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. At that point, he wasn't hiding it. It's who would receive it? Of course, the Bible tells us that he came unto his own and his own rejected him. But it says, as many as received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. And, you know, I believe that the church in our generation has gone so far backwards from their understanding of what salvation really is. The understanding of salvation has changed so much in the last 50 to 100 years. The masses called Christians today don't believe the way that we used to believe, or the way the children of God used to believe, even in the early church, the way they used to believe. We have morphed salvation to fit our culture, to fit our times. And you know what's the worst thing? We've morphed it to fit our imaginations, our own thinking. We've brought God down from the heavens into our earthly realm of understanding, instead of letting him be God and acknowledging us as in need of God, always striving to come close to him. Salvation is not a prayer on a Sunday night or in your home or anywhere, inviting Jesus into your heart. Salvation is believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. And that doesn't happen on one night. That's our journey of faith. Confessing with our mouth is the entrance or the beginning of it. But beloved, don't be deceived. We have to believe that God has raised him from the dead. How do we know that we believe that God raised him from the dead? Anybody know? How do you believe that God raised him from the dead? His righteousness will be in you. That's why he rose from the dead, conquering death and hell and sin. It's living a resurrection life, no longer. Like Jesus said, you're from beneath, I'm from above. Well, those who are being saved are now from above. They're not from beneath. You could say, like Jesus said, I'm not, I'm from above, I'm not. You're from beneath, I'm from above. You're earthly, I'm heavenly. Why? I've been born from above. My Father is in heaven. The Spirit that dwells within me is from heaven. I follow the directives of heaven. Heaven is leading me. I think that it's going to be a fight of faith like you've never seen to hold the foundations of old, to hold the sound and true doctrine that we have received. I find resistance to the true doctrine of Jesus Christ almost everywhere in these countries. Overseas, praise God, there is an openness, and I suppose that's why the Spirit of the Lord is moving. But there's such a resistance and such a such a belief that we ourselves are gods because we determine our own destiny, which is a foolish suggestion, because in a moment your breath could be gone. God could literally take it away and you're no more in this life. I'm wholly dependent on Him. My life is hid in Christ, in God. I live because He lives. Come on. I'm alive because He's alive in me. I have vision and hope because Christ has imparted that to me. And I am being saved. Speaking about myself, I am being saved. God is redeeming me even as we speak. Praise His holy name. And when that end comes and I stand before Him, waiting that sound, should I be alive on the earth when that trumpet sounds? And I firmly believe I will be. However, either way to get to heaven is fine with me. To be there and to be found His righteousness. To be found acceptable in His eyes. Not in your eyes, not in the eyes of other Christians, but in His eyes. Because after all, isn't that what matters? It's not if you're acceptable in my eyes or acceptable in some other Christian's eyes or believer or some other person in the world. You need to be acceptable to God. Do you agree with that? Of course, the human way is to say, I'm better than so-and-so, therefore I'm righteous. And some of us, because we do something right, we become self-righteous in that particular thing. And in being self-righteous, we become unrighteous in another thing. Our righteousness isn't in ourselves and what we do, it's in Christ. It's in His sacrifice. Come on. My righteousness isn't because I do everything right. My righteousness is because it's in Him. He died, He was buried, rose again, shed His blood to wash my sins away, and I live because of that. He is my righteousness. Come on, say that with me tonight. He is my righteousness. That is Jesus Christ, my righteousness. Who is Jesus? Yeah, He's your righteousness. Very good. He's the Son of God. Should we recap? He is God. He is I am. He's Messiah. Did you know He said that? In John 4:26, they said, are you Messiah? He said, I that speak to you am He. I'm the one. Messiah, the hope of all mankind. To take the sin away. The fulfillment of Isaiah 53. wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Messiah has come. Praise the name of Jesus. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Glory, I just love that. Again, I would love to have seen the look, knowing what I know now, I'd love to see the look on the faces of the people standing by when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't say, I'm the way to it. He said, that's who I am. That's my being. Right? So I'm David. I'm a pastor. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Okay, you win. You want to drop names? Drop a name. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Come on. Who says that kind of stuff? Nobody says that stuff because it never happened. It never came to their feeble earthly mind. But God says that. God says that because that's who he is. And who is he saying that to? A dying generation. A people dying in sin. What's he saying to them? I am the resurrection and the life. I am the one who can lift you up from the grave. Amen. I am the one that can quicken your earthly body. Yes. Come on, hallelujah. I'm the one that when you're dead can give you life. Yes. I am that life. Yes. I receive you, Lord. So when we receive Jesus, when we receive salvation, we receive him as the resurrection and the life. Or we should. Somewhere in our journey, we need to receive the resurrection and the life. Amen. To know it, to understand it, to live in it, to walk in it, right? It's not that you're just a Christian, a person wanting to be like Christ, but you are the resurrection and the life. In you is resurrection life. I'm sure I don't need to remind you of the scriptures that I'm crucified with Christ, but I live. I'm resurrected. And if the same, or if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will make you alive. Lord, I receive you. Resurrection in the life, because I'm sitting on this earth dying in my body. My body is dying. I want to see you. It's falling apart. And if you're young and time permits, you'll fall apart. You know, the surest thing is don't bathe for a couple of weeks. See how righteous you are then. You'll find yourself lonely. Because it's our decaying bodies. See, Phil agreed with that. Hallelujah. You know, but one day we're going to shed these earthen shells. Amen. And we're going to get a whole new kind of body. The kind of body that lives forever, that can exist in eternity, that can stand next to a holy, beautiful, awesome God. You can't do that in your earthly body. Remember Moses? He said, let me see you. The Lord said, I can't see you and you still live. I need you. But he said, I'll do something. I'll show you the very, very back part of me as I pass by. Oh, the anointing. Hallelujah. Could you imagine standing next to him in all his beauty and majesty and his glory? The Lord's prepared a body for us so that we can stand beside him. Beloved, that we can sit beside him on his throne. Hallelujah, that we can be with the angels and the others praising his holy name. And these bodies, they could never do that. but he's going to give us. He's already made us something. And we're just waiting to be clothed upon that body. There'll be no more dying there. No more sorrow there. No more suffering. No more pain. Right, Rosemary? Hallelujah. And everybody else, how many got aches and pains in their bodies? Come on, you got a reason to hope. Chris, that's a double hander I see there, yeah. Come on, you want that new body?
Amen.
And let's wear this old one out. You don't want to put a nice, beautiful, healthy body in the grave. You want to put one that's worn out and half dead, and it was just nothing, and it kicked it in, and that was it. It was over. It's like an old car, you know, you just leave it on the side of the road, carry on. You want to put a perfectly good car in the grave. What do you think about that doctrine? It's kind of crazy, isn't it? It doesn't say it in the Bible, but I read the history of some of the saints that carried the gospel of Jesus across the earth, and that's what they thought. Just living for Jesus, just giving themselves, spending themselves for the kingdom's sake. Now, many of them, they've left this life. They've left that old vehicle behind. I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got just a hankering to tell somebody that Jesus doesn't just going to save you from your sins. He's the resurrection and the life. Have you heard that lately? Nobody else is. It's not Buddha. I never seen Buddha do anything but sit there. With an eternal grin. No, I'm going to say not eternal because he's made of something that decays. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for letting me be your son. Thank you for helping my mind to understand your beauty and your glory. Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know more about you. I just want to be like Paul. I want to know you. Can you say that with me tonight, beloved? I want to know you, Jesus. Come on, say it. I want to know you, Jesus. I really want to know you. You know, you meet somebody and you'd like to get to know them. Well, I really want to get to know Jesus more. I don't know everything there is to know, neither do you. It's like we got 15 seconds, come on. John chapter 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Oh, I gotta love it. I mean, who understands that? I am the bread of life. So that means that there's some, you got bread that's gonna give life. No, he said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me, listen to that, shall never hunger. And he that believes on me shall never thirst. Glory, hallelujah. So to close with that scripture, he becomes our everything. He's our sustainer, and as we say, he's our provider. He's our Lord from heaven. We thank you. And we thank you tonight, Lord, for showing us.